I want to say Merry Christmas, or should I say Merry Christmas Eve Eve. That's what we've been calling this Sunday, and choir and worship team and so on. And a couple days before Christmas. It's good to reflect upon God's truth as we come to this time of cracking open our Bibles and asking God to open up our hearts to do His work in us today. Let's pray as we approach God's Word this morning. Thank you, God, for Christmas. Thank you for all the truths that are contained in the Christmas story. We pray that you would bless this time as we hear your words spoken and proclaimed, preached. Pray that you would bless me as a proclaimer and preacher of your word. May you bless our thoughts and minds as we zero in on your truth today. Grant us your wisdom, Lord God, as we feed on you and your word today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been discussing wisdom these last number of weeks as we've walked through sermon series through the book of Proverbs. And throughout the many different passages in Proverbs, talks about wisdom and also foolishness. And I can't help but think in this time of reflecting upon the birth of Jesus Christ, of how it was extremely foolish to the world, and yet it was the wisdom of God's plan that foiled the foolishness of the world. And thinking of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, which says this, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Everything that the world considers strong, everything that the world considers as wise, God flips it up upside down or right side up. And He takes the foolishness of the world and uses that as the wisdom of God. And God has done that in the story of Christmas, how He slips under the radar of the rulers and the powerful people of the world. Jesus Christ, born as a baby, who would have expected that? And we see that all throughout the Christmas story, how God's wisdom shines through. God did it in that way in order to have His Savior live that perfect life, to go to the cross, to go to the empty tomb, to rise again. And so as God did that, we know and we recognize as we look through all of Scripture that that's not the first time that God worked in that way, where He used the foolishness of the world to shame them and to have God's wisdom shine through. And so what we're going to do this morning is look at kind of mash up two different stories in Scripture and put them side by side and to see some striking parallels between the birth of Jesus Christ and the early birth and early years of Moses as well. We're going to put those two stories side by side and compare and contrast and see how God's wisdom shines through to deliver us, to save us. And so let's do that as we look at the infancy of Moses and the infancy of Jesus, compared and contrast. So we're going to be flipping between Exodus 1 and 2, and also Luke's Gospel and a little bit of Matthew's Gospel as well. And so there are a bunch of similarities between those two stories, between Moses and between Jesus. And the first similarity between the two is that both Moses and Jesus Christ were born in humble circumstances. Now let's look at Moses' story first, looking back at Exodus. And looking, if you flip with me to Exodus chapter 2, and we see how the birth of Moses comes about. And if you look at Exodus 2, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son." A lot of fanfare going on, right? It's just a simple stating of fact. A man from the tribe of Levi married a woman also from the tribe of Levi, and they had a baby. That's it, right? It's such a simple, straightforward sharing of that story. Two unknown people giving birth to Moses. This man who was born into the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly branch of all the tribes of Israel. There was not a lot of fanfare surrounding the birth of Moses. We're going to look at another aspect of that story in a moment here. But as we reflect upon Moses coming to earth, being born, he was born to two simple people and two people that nobody would know about in the world. Same was true for Jesus. As we reflect upon Jesus' story, Jesus' birth in Luke and in the Gospels here, thinking of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, from the family of David, had to go to Bethlehem and to register. And remember Mary, young girl, young servant of the Lord, as she called herself. Nobody would have picked out Mary in a crowd. God brought together Joseph and Mary. Yes, we know the names, as opposed to Moses' family. We don't necessarily know the names of Moses' parents. But we have Joseph and Mary, two unknown people to the world. God used to bring to birth this great one. Thinking of how Jesus was born under humble circumstances, I love the Christmas story program and how the kids act that out so well of having being born in a stable, being born in a manger where the animals lived, where the animals hung out. Probably kind of smelly there in the manger. Jesus, born under humble circumstances. Both Moses' birth and Jesus' birth, as humble starts, slips under the radar of the watching world. Nobody would have expected the God of the universe to be born in a stable. You would maybe expect something grand, something that would be on the front page of the news, something that would be the first story and the TV broadcast of the news. You maybe would expect to be born in a palace, both Moses and Jesus. But no, they were born in humble circumstances, born slipping under the radar of the wise of the world. There was no large-scale, big-time news coverage of their births. Both Jesus and Moses were born under humble circumstances. Second truth I'd like to share with us today, not only that both Jesus and Moses were born under humble circumstances, but also, very interestingly, both Jesus and Moses escape murderous plots of rulers. Okay, let's look at Moses' story in Exodus 2. Flip back with me to that portion of Scripture. Exodus 2, the second half of verse 2, it says, "And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to them." Now this story here of Moses being born, of his mom hiding him for so long, if we just read that part, we would maybe be unfamiliar with what was happening. If you look at chapter 1 in Exodus, you know that the ruler of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was looking at the Israelites. And just like we would kind of keep track of the deer population and make sure that it doesn't get out of hand, he viewed his slaves, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and he said, "They're getting to be too populous, so we need to make sure that all the baby boys are killed." And if you read there in Exodus 1, he told the midwives, the nurses basically, to kill the baby boys that were born. Can you imagine that? Giving birth? And hope, kind of maybe hoping it's a girl so that it lives. And then the baby boys were killed. Many died there in Exodus 1. That was a circumstance under which Moses was born. And Moses' mom had to hide him. And you know how it goes with babies. It's hard to hide them, right? They make noise. It's okay. It's good. We love that. But Moses' mom couldn't hide Moses much longer. And so she had this plan, and it's a fun story to think about, and we see it in kids' Bible story books of Moses' mom making that wicker basket and putting baby Moses in that and floating him along the Nile. A lot of sacrifice that she went through, that their family went through, to see that this baby would keep living. Moses had to escape the threats, the murderous plot of the wicked ruler, in a sense, here. Same is true with Jesus. If you go to Matthew chapter 2, we read about how Jesus had to escape the clutches of an evil ruler that wished for him to be dead. In Matthew 2, verses 13 through 18, listen to these verses. It says, "Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while there was still night and left for Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." Jesus, also, as a baby, just like Moses, his parents, under the direction of the Lord, had to be saved from the plot of a wicked ruler that wanted his death. Herod wanted all of those babies killed. And sadly, many did die. There in Matthew 2, every baby boy in Bethlehem under the age of 2 was killed. How sad, right? That's the scary part in the Nativity Story movie that we watch every year, right, Berdia? Or we kind of skip past that part because it's scary, right? The soldiers coming through and killing those baby boys. Jesus was preserved from the murderous plot of King Herod. And interestingly, as we think about these two stories side by side, where did Joseph and Mary get sent to? They go to Egypt. And I sense that God is trying to point us in that direction, to think about the connection between these two, between Jesus and Moses, of how God preserved both of these great men to be preserved from the clutches of those that wanted to kill them. Jesus and Moses were preserved from death. Now we get to the third and final tying together of these two characters, these two stories in the Bible, the story of Moses and the story of Jesus. And this is the biggest reason to think of these two side by side. And that's this truth, that both Moses and Jesus were servants of God to deliver God's people. They were used by God to bring about salvation. Moses, right? Let's look at Moses' story. As you think about Moses back in Exodus and thinking through Exodus, the plagues and the Passover, thinking about how God used him as an adult. God used Moses to be the one who would deliver God's people from Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God would use Moses and saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And finally, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he said, you can go. Get out of here. After all those plagues. And then in Exodus 14, after Pharaoh changes his mind that last moment, thinking of how Pharaoh's army was chasing after God's people there, and they came right up to the Red Sea. And you have the sea in front of them. God's people saw the sea and they could not pass. And they had Pharaoh's army chasing them from behind. They were in a hopeless situation. And they cried out to God. Moses cried out to God to deliver them, because they were doomed. They were going to die there in that moment. And we know what God did. He miraculously parted the sea. He did for them what they could not do for themselves. He opened up that sea so that they could walk through on dry land. And if you read Exodus 15, they had a party. They praised God. They rejoiced. They sang a song. And the song goes on in Exodus 15, a lot of the chapter. They praise God and say, God, you are the one who has saved us. And Moses was the representative of God's work of deliverance, of salvation, from slavery in Egypt to freedom out of Egypt. God used Moses to bring about the salvation of his people. And for those that were Jewish people before the time of Christ, the biggest story of God's deliverance was the Exodus. That was their story of salvation. And that was what pointed to someday their great deliverer who would come. And Jesus' story parallels that Exodus very much so. Jesus also, as he lived that life as an infant, as he grew up to be an adult, he was used by God. He is God himself. Jesus was the instrument of your salvation, of my salvation. Moses and the people of God were dead in the water as they were pursued by Pharaoh's army, but Jesus died. Jesus took your sins upon himself, my sins on him. And as he died, your sins were paid for. Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus' death and resurrection has won for you and for me our salvation. It parallels the salvation, the deliverance with Moses. We find ourselves in a place where we have a sea in front of us and an army that's attacking us behind us. And we say, God, save us. I can't do it. And God says, I have opened the way through Jesus Christ. Walk through on dry land. Jesus died. Jesus lives. Jesus is our great Savior. And as much as we can compare these two stories, the story of Moses and the story of Jesus, we see how God uses his wisdom to foil the so-called wisdom of the world. God brings about salvation. God brings about deliverance. And as much as these two stories are similar, there are huge differences as well. And I want to end as we think about those differences, and they mean a lot. When Jesus was transfigured with the three disciples on the mountain, when he became as white as white can be, and Jesus appeared with Moses and Elijah. And Moses and Elijah symbolized the law and the prophets, and they were there together with Jesus. Jesus was the focal point there. Moses points to Jesus. John 1:17 says this, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." As great as the Exodus story is, and it is great, it points to something greater, and that is your salvation, my salvation, through Jesus Christ. Finally, listen to Hebrews 3. Turn there with me. Hebrews 3, verses 3 through 6. As we hear about Moses and Jesus together. Hebrews 3, verse 3 says this, "For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in God's house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." Friends, at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The story of Moses, as we reflect upon that and the early infancy of Moses, parallels the life of Jesus very well. And it strengthens our assurance that Jesus has come for us. Jesus has come for your salvation. He has saved you, and he invites you to that today. He calls you to believe and to trust in him. as we reflect upon Christmas, as we think about His coming to us as a baby, would you receive Jesus? Would you welcome Him? Would you invite Him into your life by faith? Would you see Jesus as the great Savior of the world as you worship Him this Christmas? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this word today that points to your great wisdom. And as we've been reflecting on wisdom, we know that, Jesus, you are wisdom personified. And in your wisdom, we find salvation. The way you did it, the way you acted in history, you have brought about our salvation. May we not lose sight of that. May we cling to that tightly this Christmas season. We thank you, Jesus, for saving our souls. We thank you, God, and we pray in your name. Amen.